This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi. This is the life of Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, with your host Suhaib Webb. Sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome to the program, The Life of Muhammad. I'm your host, Brother Suhaib Webb, and today is our first program, alhamdulillah, where we plan to focus on the life of the last prophet of Allah, the last messenger of God sent to humanity, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's program, we plan to discuss two important issues. The first issue is, why is it important to study the life of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? And the second is, why did God Almighty, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the Arab people to be the last recipient of a prophet? We don't mean that they were the last recipients of the actual message, but what we mean is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the people of the Arabian Peninsula specifically to be those who would serve the prophetic call in its infancy and see that this prophetic call will be spread throughout the world? When we talk about the life of Muhammad, peace be upon him, it's important that we focus on understanding why we study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what method do we want to use in approaching the study of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that understanding is something very important, and that understanding is a gift from our Creator. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridu Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din." You know, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for, He gives them an understanding, or give that person the understanding of religion. We make a famous supplication in the second chapter of the Qur'an that I'm sure, you know, all of our Muslim listeners have memorized, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Where we say, Oh our Lord, give us good in the hereafter, give us good in this life and good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. Hassan al-Basri, a great follower of the companions, he said, حَسَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهْمُ الْقُرْآنِ. He said that good in this life, and this supplication that we're making, good in this life is the understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to approach the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the main objective that we want to take things from his life which we can understand and implement in our lives and make us better people. The first thing that we can take from studying the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the importance of stories in our life. When we look at the Qur'an, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah's mercy be upon him, he mentioned that the Qur'an has been divided into different aspects, around three. And one of the aspects he mentioned is that the Qur'an has been divided into stories. You know, we find a huge amount of stories mentioned in the Qur'an, from the story of Adam, to Noah, to Ibrahim, to Moses, Musa, to Dawood and Suleiman, David and Solomon, to Zechariah, and Jesus and Isa alayhi salam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find so many different stories in the Quran, stories of the prophets, stories of the righteous, stories of those who helped the prophets, who worked for the cause of truth. We find even some chapters in the Quran are named after certain prophets or certain righteous people, and we find in these chapters their stories. For example, Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Quran, the chapter called Joseph, entails the entire story of Yusuf, Joseph, peace be upon him. The 19th chapter of the Quran, Surah Maryam, where we find the detail of the experience of Mary giving birth to her son Jesus, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. There's a chapter called Abraham, there's a chapter called Noah, Nuh. And we find in these chapters, you know, the stories of the prophets. And it's important for us to realize why the Quran is facilitating us with so many different types of stories. And we go to the statement of Junayd al-Baghdadi, who was a great person of piety, and he said that the stories are the junud, the jund min junudillah, that the stories are soldiers from the soldiers of Allah. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with these stories, yuthabbitu biha qulubu awliya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He with these stories, He makes the hearts of those people who love Allah and are close to Allah strong. So stories, brothers and sisters, are a means for us to, you know, take some baggage with us in this long road of life and strengthen our hearts and strengthen our faith. Sometimes we're out there and we think, you know, man, there's no way out of this situation. Or, man, no one's ever been in this situation that, like I've been, you know, before. But we go to the Quran and we find these stories. We find that there are people who are better than us, who lived very similar situations that we might be living, and we gain strength from these stories. The other thing that we take from the stories is the high standard of moral character that the Quran is giving us through stories. You know, sometimes we might be faced with a decision, and you know, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ سَبِيلًا إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Maybe we feel to go one way or the other. Should I go the right way or the wrong way? When we read the stories of the prophets, we find that, you know, they always went the right way, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always assisted them. You know, something that you see now amongst young Muslims is the frustration in getting married. And unfortunately, many times they feel that they have to go down the wrong road, you know, to get a spouse. I mean, go to the story of Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Qasas, when he met the daughters of Shu'aib and they asked him to help them with water, and he helped them. You know, they didn't go beyond the acceptable behaviors of good Muslim people. You know, he didn't talk to them in a way that he shouldn't have been talking to them, and they didn't talk to him in a way that, you know, they shouldn't have been talking to him. But what happened, subhanAllah, we find that Musa eventually married one of those daughters. So by going the right way, we find in the stories the examples of the right way and going the right way, and that choosing this right way leads to success. So we look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find the best pattern for us to follow in our lives. We find strength in our lives, you know, in the difficult times that we face. That's why some scholars, they said, if you're ever sad, or if you ever feel like giving up hope on yourself, read Surah Yusuf, read the 12th chapter of the Quran, and you'll feel better about yourself, you'll feel stronger about yourself. Another reason that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so that we can gain a grasp of the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his physical attributes, his method of living, and most importantly, we can understand the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was our Prophet Muhammad calling people to? How did he call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How did he handle himself in the situation of calling people to Allah? And this is very important for those of us who live in lands which are, you know, the majority are people who claim other faiths, and that we are given the responsibility of calling these people to Islam. And when we study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we get a clear picture on how we're supposed to go about doing that. Another reason that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah says in the third chapter of the Quran, say, if you love Allah, follow me, follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will love you. The ulama, they call this verse ayatul imtihan, the verse of trial, or the verse of testing. Because many people out there, if you ask them, do you love Allah, they will say yes. But look how they follow their prophets. Look how they follow those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent them to guide these people. You know, look how they follow them. You know, how many Muslim youth out there, if you ask them, do you love Allah, they say yes. Then you find them in the nightclub, or you find them looking at something on the internet that they're not supposed to. Or you find them in a college campus, you know, trying to talk to girls, or girls trying to talk to boys, and so forth. So one of the reasons that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that by studying his life and understanding his life, this is a sign of our love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that our love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lead us to follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that by following the Prophet Muhammad, we will gain the love of Allah. And there's nothing greater than the love of Allah. Maybe you're asking yourself, you know, what is the love of Allah? You know, every day we read, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, that there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to understand the love of Allah and the greatness of it, go to the hadith related by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ الْعَبْدَ نَادَى جِبْرِيلَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, he calls the angel Gabriel. And he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَحِبُّهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel that Allah loved this person, you must love him. So Jibreel loved this person, and then he goes to all of the angels in the heavens and he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانَ فَأُحِبُّهُ, that indeed Allah loves such and such person. And imagine if you listen now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mentioning your name. You know, dear brother, imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning your name. Dear sister, imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِمَلَ الْأَعْلَى, is mentioning your name. I mean, is there anything better than this? So how is it that we can go for the love of others, in doing things that are wrong, when look at the greatness of the love of Allah. So Jibreel says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such and such person, and then he orders all of the angels in the heavens to love this person, and this love becomes so intense that it spreads into the entire universe, and it comes to the earth, and even the people in the earth love this person. So by studying the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sign that I love the Prophet, and by loving the Prophet and following the Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people who He loves. The other reason is that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we inshaAllah are developing a link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our love for him. One time a man, he came to the Prophet Muhammad and he asked him about somebody who loves a group of people, but he could never see them or never be with them. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, responded by saying, Al-mar'u ma'a man uhib, that the person is going to be with who they love. So we are not with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We never met him, we never saw him. But by studying his life, we love him, and inshaAllah, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, that we hope that Allah will bring us with the Prophet Muhammad and put us together with him on the Day of Judgment and in the Paradise. Ameen. The other reason that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is that we can gain a correct understanding of the Islamic sciences, talking about aqidah, the beliefs of the Muslims, fiqh, the rulings of the Muslims, and al-hakam. And also we can understand the minhaj of da'wah, the methodology of calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the methodology of training, tarbiyah, training ourselves and training others. Because when we go through the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that he was a teacher, he was a trainer, and he developed his companions and the people around him from a complete state of anarchy and loss into becoming leaders of the world. The other reason that we want to study the life of the Muhammad, of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is really something that teachers and imams and MSA workers and youth workers in general and workers out there in the communities can learn how the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, dealt with people. What was his character? How did he talk with people? How did he walk with people? How was he with people? We go to the famous hadith of Muawiyah, not Muawiyah the son of Abu Sufyan, but another Muawiyah related by Imam Muslim, who says, that he became Muslim, and at the time he became Muslim, the Prophet Muhammad taught him that if somebody sneezes, you say, Yarhamakallah. So he learned to say, Yarhamakallah, which means, may Allah have mercy upon you. We find here in America that people say, God bless you, something very similar. So Muawiyah learned this, and then the time for the Asr prayer came. And the Asr prayer is one of the out of the five prayers that Muslims make, which is a silent prayer. And somebody sneezed, and suddenly Muawiyah, he yelled, Yarhamakallah. And the people started to look at him like he was crazy. And then Muawiyah, he said to the people who were looking at him, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you looking at me like that? In the prayer, can you imagine the Salatu Asr? Then the people signaled to him that he needed to be quiet. He became quiet. And after the prayer, the Prophet Muhammad called him, peace be upon him. And Muawiyah says, Wallahi, by Allah, that I never saw mu'alliman ahsana minhu, that I never saw a teacher, aw kama qal, better than the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So the Prophet Muhammad called him and he told him, Muawiyah says to us that when the Prophet Muhammad called him, he said, Ma darabani, the Prophet Muhammad didn't hit me, he didn't yell at me, he didn't, give me a bad look, but he told me that this prayer is only magnification of Allah and the recitation of Quran, and that there's no, talking in it. So we see, dear brothers and sisters in da'wah, sometimes our hearts get hard with others, and sometimes we lack patience in dealing with developing the people around us. But we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we gain this beautiful quality of being loving and at the same time being a teacher and being a trainer and being a guide. The other thing that we get from studying the life of the Prophet Muhammad is the complete picture of Islam. Because many of us, maybe we think that Islam is only, you know, going to the masjid, or that Islam is only Eid al-Adha, or that Islam is only Eid al-Fitr, or Islam is only Jum'ah. But now we can divide Muslims into three characteristics. Those who pray, you know, at least once a day in the masjid, those who pray once a week in the masjid Jum'ah, and those who pray once a year in the masjid Salatu Eid. When we go to the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we find a husband, we find a father, we find a grandfather, we find an uncle, we find a general, we find a prophet. We found somebody who did everything they could, and in every capacity possible, and directed this to the worship of Allah. I mean, look at us, we're out here working. Not all of us are imams. We're out here going to school. We're out here, you know, being husbands and mothers and fathers and so forth. And we learn from the Prophet Muhammad to direct all of this to Allah. We're going to take a short break now. We plan to come back and talk about some more issues pertaining to the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
طالع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داعي صلى الله على محمد.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we talk about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it's important that we focus on the condition of the people in the Arabian Peninsula before the call of the Prophet Muhammad started. What was their social condition? What was their life like? What were their religious beliefs? That way we can gain a better appreciation for the role that Muhammad, peace be upon him, played in the world, and specifically and the lives of these people, and people like them who would continue to follow in their footsteps, you know, in misguidance and then accepting guidance until the end of time. People like Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, people like Tariq Abdul Wahed, the famous basketball player, people like Malcolm X, and so forth. We go to the Quran and we find that the Quran describes these people in different ways. In many places in the Quran, we find a verse which says, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, that indeed before these people accepted the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed they were in manifest error. They were lost. We find in other places, like for example in the 8th chapter of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that He brought the hearts of these people together. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, if you spent all of the property and the riches in the world, you could have not united these people's hearts. These people were in such, you know, disarray that it would have been impossible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought their hearts together. In other places in the Quran, Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. In the third chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the companions, their condition, and in doing so, He says, remember the favor of Allah upon you. You know, where you used to be. How you used to be enemies and you were brought together as brothers, and how at one point in time you were living on the brink of hell and you were saved from this hellfire by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important for us to study their life so that we can gain a better appreciation of the Prophethood of Muhammad. Secondly, for those of us who live here in the hood in America, and you know, we always hear this, how should I call people to Islam? Who are the best type of people to call to Islam? What's the best method to call people to Islam? You know, when we look at these people, we find certain qualities that stick out and let us know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people to be the servants of the prophetic message, meaning that these people were blessed and chosen to be those people who actually received the Prophet in his infancy as a Prophet and stood by him and helped him and assisted him. So we look at around seven qualities which we should look at, you know, in people around us in our daily life. Try to find these qualities in people and see how we can, you know, spread the message of Islam to them. The first quality was hospitality and generosity. They were extremely hospitable and they were extremely generous. And we know that generosity is usually linked with bravery. When somebody is generous, it's usually because they're brave. They're not scared of something. When somebody is bakhil or miserly, this is a sign of someone's cowardness, that they, you know, they don't really trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of them, so they don't give. We find that these people, they gave and they were hospitable beyond normal understanding. In fact, there were some bad aspects of this. They would, you know, waste. They would, you know, be praised for their extreme amounts of hospitality. If you read the Mu'alaqat, the old Arabic poems, you find that these people were, you know, wasteful beyond, you know, normal recognition. You know, if you want to understand their generosity, you can go to one story of a pre-Muhammadan story of a man one time who, he was very wealthy and very famous and very, very, you know, known amongst the Arabs as being very generous. And somebody became jealous of him and sent a hitman after him to kill him. So the hitman got this man alone in the desert and he prepared to kill him. And as he was about to kill the man said to him, "Now, why are you killing me?" And he said, "Man, you know, somebody paid me, you know, let's say like $1,000 to knock you off. Somebody paid me $1,000 to kill you." And he responded and said, $1,000? I'll pay you if you don't kill me. I'll pay you something else." So the hitman was like, "Hey, this sounds good. How much will you pay me?" He said, "I'll pay you, you know, $1,100 if you don't kill me." So the hitman, he said, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Are you crazy? You're only going to pay me $1,100 not to kill you? You are so miserly. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to do worse. I'm going to go and tell everybody that you are not very hospitable." So the person that he was about to kill, he became extremely upset and he said to him, "Please, kill me. I'll pay you whatever you want. Kill me. Don't tell anyone that I'm not generous, that I'm not, you know, hospitable." The generosity of these people and their hospitality led them to serve Islam and to sacrifice, you know, a lot of the things that they had for the cause of the truth. The second important quality that they had was keeping promises. They were very, very, you know, famous for keeping promises. In fact, one of the root causes of hypocrisy is lying. The Prophet Muhammad said, "Ayatul Munafiq Thalatha," that the signs of a hypocrite are three in an authentic hadith. And the first one is either hadith kadhib, that when they speak, they lie. You know, the people came to the Prophet Muhammad and asked him, "Can a believer be a coward?" "Yes." "Can a believer be, you know, miserly?" "Yes." Then they ask him, "Can a believer be a liar?" "No." When you go to the Quran, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, usually whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions hypocrites, he says, "Ulaikum kadhibun," that these people are liars, that these people are people of lying. We find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of belief, he says, "Ulaika alladhina sadaqu," that the people of belief and faith are the people of truth. So they used to keep their promises. And we know that soon they were going to be given a great promise. And that was the promise of prophethood, to support the message of truth. When those of us who became Muslim, we say shahadatain, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." This is an ahad. This is a promise with Allah. Let us look at ourselves and see how we keep in this promise. The fourth one is a sense of honor and dignity. They had a great sense of honor and dignity. And because of this, later on, those who accepted Islam felt a sense of honor and dignity at being brought out of extreme darkness into the light of Islam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Yukhrijul الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيْتِ," that Allah brought things that were dead to life. One time I met a sheikh from Mauritania and he asked me, "هل دخلت في الإسلام قلت له نعم." He asked me, "Did you become Muslim?" I said, "Yes." He looked at me and said, "يخرج الحي من الميت." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the dead to the living. This guy used to be dead and mashallah, now he's alive with Islam. The fifth was that they were firm and stubborn. And this stubbornness and firmness would help the truth later on, and the call of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because they would not waver in their call. I mean, they were, as we're going to see, inshallah, they went through so many tests, so many hardships, but they never gave up because they were determined. Now, those of us who become Muslim, you know, the smallest tests happen to us. Our families go against us, you know, our friends turn against us. Look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, who were killed, who lost their homes, who lost so many things, but they never wavered in the call of the truth. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, as is mentioned in the Qur'an. The sixth was perseverance and mildness. They were sabirun. They were able to handle tests and be mild in these tests. And this led them to have courage and led them to be able to handle the long road that awaited them, the long road of da'wah. The seventh one is that they were pure and simple. Their society was never conquered. Their society was not corrupted by the major, you know, superpowers of the day. That way they were very natural. So the call of nature, the call of one God, appealed to them. And because of their simplicity, they accepted it. And because of their simplicity in dunya, being from the people of Zuhd, they were able to, you know, refrain from being tempted into the world and stay and help the call of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So these qualities are qualities that we should look for in the people around us, the people that we think will be recipients of this wonderful message of Islam. We're going to break now for commercial break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاعي أنت غوثنا جميعا يا مجمع الأطباع صلى الله على محمد.
Welcome back to the program. Now we're going to summarize basically what we talked about today. We talked about why it's important that we study the life of the Prophet Muhammad to gain a better understanding of Islam, how Islam is applied, understanding our belief as Muslims, our law as Muslims, our method in calling people to Islam, and the method of training ourselves and training others is coming out of the prophetic example. Secondly, we talked about the qualities of the Arabs before the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how we should take these qualities and use them in today's time when we want to call others to Islam. I hope, inshallah, that you will attend our next show. We plan to talk about the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, starting from Prophet Abraham to, inshallah, Abdul Muttalib. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening to our program. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.